A provocative cover on this week's New York Magazine asks whether President Barack Obama should still be called the first Jewish president, a mantle laid on him during the 2008 presidential campaign because of his support of Israel. That was then. This week, as Obama tries to navigate the shoals at the UN, he's seeing billboards from pro-Israeli groups showing him shaking hands with the Palestinian president. And that Democratic loss in the 9th District in New York is being blamed in large part on Jewish Democrats who wanted to send the president a signal that he's not pro-Israeli enough. Well, our next guest asks, how did this happen? He says relations have never been more robust, whether it's the U.S. rescuing Israelis from that attacked embassy in Libya or sharing intelligence with them. One answer, John Heilemann says, is that Obama is saying out loud what past administrations have long maintained, that to achieve peace, Israel must return to its 1967 borders with land swaps for settlements. Remember, after Obama first said that last May, the very next day, visiting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu unleashed a 7-minute televised rebuke during what was supposed to be a routine photo op of the two leaders. John Heilemann is National Affairs Editor for New York Magazine. And John, you say Netanyahu is always speaking to other players, like Israelis back home who are conservative?
Very conservative. He himself is quite conservative, but he has coalition partners who are far to his right. And Netanyahu tends to play to those extreme elements in his own coalition and say things that they want to hear. And many of those people do not believe even in a two-state solution, let alone in a return to the 67 borders with land swaps.
Well, and as we see here in the U.S., he's also playing to Republican presidential candidates who are more than happy to criticize Obama for his support of Israel, even some of them who, well, as Rick Santorum said about Rick Perry, I've forgotten more about Israel than he ever knew. Or as you write, so much pandering, so little time. But we also see Netanyahu and Obama metaphorically arm in arm at the UN. Who needs whom more at this moment?
Well, I think there's no question that Israel needs America more, not just at this moment, but in almost every moment. In fact, it is increasingly isolated in the world community. Many American Jews and many Israeli Jews think that Obama is not only insufficiently pro-Israel, but is in fact anti-Israel. And so this piece that I've written is somewhat designed to try to knock down that canard. And this week at the UN, it seems to me, is an object lesson in how that is true. The administration this week has been really Israel's only friend in standing up to the Palestinian statehood bid and trying to derail it and working in every possible way to try to avert what it thinks is bad for the peace process and also very much what the Israelis want to avoid, which is to find themselves further stigmatized, further, in their view, delegitimized in the world, and giving the Palestinians the upper hand going forward. And it does show the way in which Israel is very much dependent for America for its to protect its interests in the diplomatic sphere as well as on the military sphere and the security sphere, which if it weren't for U.S. aid and U.S. cooperation, Israel would be in real trouble.
We'll address the two criticisms. We talked about the call for the return to the 67 borders with land swaps, which Netanyahu did not mention in that televised harangue. But the other criticisms that the Obama administration called for a freeze on settlements and was perceived as asking nothing of the Palestinians.
Those are certainly both things that upset a lot of pro-Israeli American Jews and, again, many Israelis in Israel. There are a lot of, I think, legitimate criticisms of the White House in terms of how it prosecuted the demand for a settlement freeze, whether that was the right thing to do right off the bat, whether it should have done it as publicly as it did. People from the White House acknowledged that they did not show the world what they were also demanding from the Palestinians as clearly as they should have. But let's remember that every American administration from Richard Nixon forward has been opposed to them. There is no country in the world that is in support of them. And indeed, the International Court of Justice ruled those settlements illegal a long time ago. So when the United States called for a settlement freeze, it did so for political reasons. It was trying to create a context in which the Palestinians, to give the Palestinians something that would induce them to come back to the negotiating table. What upset, I think, a lot of pro-Israeli people was that the United States was no longer was it just lip syncing this, as someone from the administration puts it in my piece. They were now actually leaning hard on the Israelis, and people thought that it was the wrong way to go about things. And that, and again, their perception was that there was nothing done on the Palestinian side. The administration, as I say, admits that it was doing things on the Palestinian side, but not publicizing them well enough. The second point on the borders, the question was to take what has been the diplomatic supposition of all these deals and to announce it in a forthright way, upset people. And I think it goes to a broader issue, which is that I think a lot of pro-Israeli Jews in America, again, and a lot of Israelis themselves, feel as though the administration has, and in fact, they're right. The administration has taken a position which is that they will treat both sides even-handedly and put pressure on both sides equally. A lot of pro-Israeli Jews in America and a lot of Israelis don't think that that even-handedness is correct.
Look, there's an irony in that all of this is unfolding as the Arab Spring unfolds, and President Obama has spoken to that, you know, of course the U.S. wants to support the democracy in the region. But you compare his approach to Israel to the caring and sober brother slapping his drunken sibling. The point is not to hurt the guy, but to get him to sober up. To sober up to what?
Well, to sober up to a reality that I think, this is, I don't think, a controversial point. I mean, it is the case that for Israel to remain both democratic and Jewish, it needs to somehow reach an accommodation where Palestinians have a state. That is, in fact, something that, on paper at least, even Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledges is the case, because the pace of growth in the Palestinian and Arab populations within Israel proper and within the occupied territories is so rapid that there is a day that is going to come where Israel will be faced with a choice. If it wants to remain democratic, it will lose its Jewish character because, in fact, there will be a majority of Arabs and Palestinians. Or if it chooses to not be democratic, it will be essentially running an apartheid state where it will be a Jewish state, but it won't be a democratic state anymore because it will be essentially subjugating a majority within its own borders and within the occupied territories. The only way out of that puzzle is for the Palestinians to have their own state. And there are so many ways in which it would help Israel for that to happen, both in terms of its economic situation, its security situation. The drunkenness that is implicit in that metaphor that I'm referring to is this notion that somehow you can see that reality but continue to behave in ways that don't acknowledge it. For Israel, it will be an uncomfortable thing. It will require risks. It will require a lot of courage to make the kind of compromises that are necessary to have that two-state solution. But it is, in fact, required if the Zionist dream of a Jewish democratic state of Israel is going to be maintained over the next century and into the future after that. And I think that's what Obama has been trying in a more forceful way to say to Israelis than they're used to hearing from their American partners here.
John Heilman, National Affairs reporter for New York Magazine. Thank you.
Thank you very much.